Exodus 32. How big is your God is the question this morning. Have you thought about that lately? How big is God? God is huge. We know that. If God can create a universe and everything that we know of, that's a big God, is He not? The question is, how big is God in your life? How big is God when troubles come your way and you need Him? How big is God? Let's look this morning at Exodus 32, beginning with verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." I lost my place, brother. Verse 2. So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned with it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow will be a feast to the Lord." They rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I have commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, and my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have understanding this morning. Help us to focus on your voice. Guide us, lead us, use me, Lord. Forgive me where I failed you, and use me to speak your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So how big is your God? Do you see God for who He is, or how your mind perceives Him to be? What do you think of God? Do you think highly of Him, or do we have a low view of God? Actually, our worship of Him has a lot to do with that. It demonstrates our view of Him. How we handle life's circumstances demonstrates our view of God, demonstrates to us if we serve, if God is big in our lives or He's not. I want us to think a few things this morning concerning our view of God from this passage. First off, we need to be careful who we make a God of. The people of God in our story here this morning, they've been following Moses for a long time. You know, Moses was the one that led them out of Egypt. Moses was the one who led them out of captivity, one that led them to their freedom. He was the one who brought God's word to them and interceded for them many times to God for them. We would find that if we read farther in this chapter, we would see that Moses, after God said, let my wrath burn against them, then in the following verses, Moses intercedes to God. And then God changed his mind and averted his wrath from the people. Somewhere along the way, even though they had seen God lead them, They had seen Moses lead them. Somewhere along the way, their minds and their hearts changed from being committed to and worshiping God to being committed to Moses. Now, Moses was on Mount Sinai at this time and been there for over 40 days. So the people told Aaron to make them a new god because Moses was gone and they didn't know what had become of him. They'd given up on him. Their minds had been changed to following Moses is evident here because they were depending more upon Moses, their leader, than depending on the God who led Moses. They let the Egyptian world that they'd been accustomed to, living in ease and comfort, even though they were in slavery, they were well provided for. They let this world influence them too much. Egypt was a pagan world of many gods. In that world, whatever god could benefit them the most was the god that they served. I'm talking about little g gods. Moses, whom they had made their god, was now gone. He was no longer of any benefit to them, so now they were asking Aaron to make them a new god. Sadly, people in our world, even in our churches, flock to a god that can benefit them the most. Serving a god that appeals more to their needs at the moment rather than finding sufficiency in the God of heaven who is always sufficient for our needs. In this case, the people had made a god out of Moses. That happens sometimes in church life. Some great authoritative, well-spoken preacher comes along and the people flock to hear him. We see that on TV a lot. And they wind up following the man. And what happens is they follow the man and the man fails and the church fails, right? I never want you to follow me. Not that you are now. I can't even get them to sit down. You know, they just want to fellowship all the time, Robert. We can't get them to sit down. They're not following us, brother. I'm sorry. Hate to break the news to you. But I don't want people to follow me because I'm just a man, right? I'm a man that I feel God's has called me to do what I do, and I want to be faithful to do that, and I want to speak what He tells me to speak. But if Keith is gone tomorrow, that doesn't mean the church ceases to go on, right? Amen. But these people had made a god of Moses. Now Moses was gone, and so they needed a new god. They failed to realize that it was not Moses that brought them out of Egypt. It was who? It was God brought them out of Egypt. We need to be careful who we make a god of. The Israelites made a god of Moses. Going back to verse 1, it says, "Come make us a god who will go before us." They're telling Aaron now. Moses is gone. We don't know what happened to him. Make us another god that we can follow. And obviously Aaron had fell right into that trap, that pagan mentality that the people had. And he had them bring gold to him, and he made them a new god. Hard for us to imagine, isn't it? That they would suddenly turn tail and follow an object. He said, "Come, make us a god who will go before us. As for Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." A second thing, be careful what you make a god of. Be careful what you make a god of. Not only can we make a god from a human relationship, we can also make gods of things, right? The people were asking Aaron, as I just said, they were asking Aaron to make them a new god that would go before them. They were not just asking him to fashion an object that they could worship. They were asking for a god that could lead them and go before them. They were not thinking about the God of heaven. They were not thinking that it was God that led them out of Egypt. They believed Moses had led them. That Moses had all this great thinking and great leadership, and he was the man, right? And he led them out of Egypt. If only they knew the burning bush experience, right? Where Moses begged God not to send him. He was coming up with all these reasons why he couldn't go. I think if the people had known Moses at that moment, maybe they wouldn't have made a God out of Moses, right? Moses was weak. He was just a man. But they had made a God from him. So Aaron gives in to the people. He fashioned an object that they could worship. He said, bring me all the gold that you have, and I'll make a god for you. Aaron then took the gold, it says. He melted it down. He fashioned this golden calf for them to worship. I wonder how big that calf was. You know, if it was really big golden calf, maybe we could worship it. Man, it'd be worth a lot of money, right? But it wasn't God, right? Isn't there some things that we find ourselves worshiping like that because it's very valuable? But it's not God. Isn't there some things that we work hard for to have in our lives, all these things? And I'm not knocking things this morning because I like things. It's nice to have things. It's nice to have money to have things, but it's not nice to go into debt to buy things, right? But we find ourselves enamored with trying to work and spend and get all of these things, and suddenly those things have directed our attention away from God. We spend so much time on all these other things, and we worship that. If someone asked us that, though, we wouldn't admit it, would we? We wouldn't admit that we were worshiping the things that we have. But it's possible that we do sometimes, right? It could be things, it could be family, it could be whatever. But Aaron, he gave in to him and he did that. He fashioned this. I'm trying to imagine even how that looks. Was it a whole calf? Or just a half a calf, or let me look like a calf. I get so wondering about that because as most of y'all know, that I'm a jeweler, and I work in a jewelry shop. And so thinking about, it said he took a graver and he made a golden calf. That would be quite an ordeal to do, thinking about what he had to work with at that time. There's old forms of what they call sand casting. They would make a mold in sand and pour the metal and all this kind of thing. It could be done, but it's quite intriguing and quite a lot of trouble to go to make something that the people could come and worship. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? So what's the object of your worship today? Who have you made a god of? I do that sometimes so you'll look up. But consider the question. As a Christian, the object of our worship, the center of our life, your everything should be God who made himself known to us in the person of Jesus Christ, right? He's the center of everything. We need to be careful what we make a god of. And the third thing is, we need to be careful not to limit the size of God. Now here's going back to the question from the start, is how big is your God? Whenever we depend on something or someone else to fulfill our needs besides God, we put limits on God. Does God have limitations? No. He does not have limitations. We would agree that God is not a small God, right? He doesn't have limits. So then why do we put limits on him? The Israelite people had made a god of Moses. Now Moses was gone. What were they going to do now? That's what we think sometimes, isn't it? Some prominent leader in our life or is now gone. What are we going to do now? How are we going to go on? Well, we go on, don't we? Sometimes we talk about, of course, in the company I work for, there's all kinds of changes going on. There has been for the past year, drastic changes. And so anytime in one of these big companies that drastic changes are happening, you start wondering, when's it going to trickle down to me? When's it going to trickle down to my department? Is my job in jeopardy? And I've got a saying for that. Somebody asks you, what will you do if you lose your job? Won't it be the end of everything? Won't it be terrible if you lost your job? And I always say, well, I was looking for a job when I found this one, and I'll look for one when I leave. God is going to take care of me, right? I can say that in light of the fact that I serve a big God who said that He would take care of me. So if I did lose my job, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It might seem tragic at the moment, but God's never letting me down. He hasn't. He's always provided. But the Israelite people, they made a God of Moses. He was gone now. What they had done is reduced God down to a mere man. And now even farther down the slippery slope, Aaron had made them this golden calf that they could put their trust in. We put our trust in men and things. We're going to get disappointed, aren't we? Because I could put my trust and faith in a person who is the most trustworthy person on earth and whose full intention is always to do the right thing. I could put my faith in him and he could still let me down, right? It's possible because he's a human. And certainly if I put my trust and faith in things, it's like them automobiles that we drive. They're just running great. Man, I'll drive this thing across the country. Yet I might drive to the end of the street and it let me down. Find myself walking, right? After all the great things that the people of Israel had seen God do, think about that. After all the examples that they had seen God do, the all-powerful things that He had done, the mighty things that God had done. And now in their minds, they had reduced God down to the size of a golden calf. They'd made a little God out of a big God, which you really can't do at all, except in your mind. Because we can't change the size of God, can we? God is God, and He's a big God. And He's only big enough in you, as your mind and your heart will let Him. That's called faith. But Paul said that in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. He said, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They had thought they were smart, but they became foolish because they reduced God down to something on earth. And worshiping the golden calf, the people had reduced God to something that they could see and understand. They reduced God down to something that they could manage and be in control of, because that's what we like to do, isn't it? We like to be in control of things. But something, they had reduced Him down to something that they could get their finite, limited minds around. Guess what? God can't be managed by us. We can't control God. He cannot be fully understood by us. That's where a lot of adults have hang-ups about putting their faith in Christ as Savior. It's because they try to understand everything first, and if they can't understand all the ins and outs of it, then they won't put their faith in Christ. If you understood everything, it wouldn't be called faith, would it? We can't squeeze God down into a box. We can't put boundaries and limitations on Him. We must view God as the big God that He is. He's high and holy, lifted up above and over all of our circumstances, all of our problems and everything in life. He's above all of that. So it really doesn't matter how much junk's going on in your life today. It doesn't matter the difficulties. If you know Christ, you're connected to a God who is bigger, bolder, more powerful, and He's over and above all of those circumstances in our lives. He's God. And He doesn't need any help being God either, by the way. He doesn't need your help, and He doesn't need my help. He can do it all. He's in charge of all. You can't replace Him with somebody. You can't replace Him with something. Unless we view God as a big God, high and holy, above all objects or persons of our affection, above all circumstances, if we view Him any way else than He is, we have a small view of God, don't we? A small view. How we view God affects everything else that we do. It affects how you do your job. It affects how you run your family. It affects the next time that you get in trouble with something. How you handle that determines on how big you see your God as. Whenever we lean on our own understanding and don't depend on God to help us through, then we have made a God. What we really did, we've made a God out of ourselves. We've said to God, I am perfectly able to handle this on my own. I can figure this out. After all, isn't it a weakness to say that you need God? That's what a man would say. That is coming from a small view of God. No, strength says that I need God. Strength says that I'm connected to God. That's what that says. But we don't reduce God down to our own understanding. So let me ask you today, who is your God? What is your God? How big is your God? Is your God able to shine through the darkness? Is your God able to supply all of your needs? Is your God able to heal all of your hurts? Is your God able to right wrongs? Is your God able to protect you? Was the blood that Jesus shed for you on the cross sufficient for your sins? Anything else, and you've made a God out of yourself, or you've made a God out of something or someone, because God is all sufficient to meet all of our needs, is He not? Did you need to be reminded of that today? I did. And if you agree with me, stand up. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father,